Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're welcome back to the show. Now, the threat to humanity from artificially intelligent, self-aware robots has been around for decades and has been famously portrayed in Hollywood, science fiction classics such as 2001, A Space Odyssey, Terminator, and of course, more recently, in Channel 4's series Humans. Well, huge advances in robotics and in artificial intelligence mean that intelligent killer robots will be living with us in the very real world in just a few years. And scientists and experts in the field are concerned. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Sean Duke, who is our science journalist. Sean, thanks a million for coming back in.
Hi, Caelan. No problem.
First off, can you define it for me? How do you differentiate between something that is artificially intelligent and something that is just a good machine? What's the difference?
Right, what we're talking about here is software, essentially. So we're talking about very, very good software, mathematical equations that are put together to create something that's intelligent. So in the early days of artificial intelligence, the intelligence of the machines were very basic. You could tell them move left, move right, up, down, etc. But as we all know, a child, a human, learns totally differently. The smallest child will learn from its environment, it'll learn from experience, it can change its behaviour. So that's the type of artificial intelligence we're talking about now. It's really, truly getting to the point where you can replicate how a human intelligence is built. Now, the problem with defining...
So something that can learn, that's what we're talking about.
Something that can learn from its environment, adapt to its environment, make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and move on.
And does that exist at this point in time, or is that what we're working towards?
No, that exists. That definitely exists, but it's still in quite a primitive form. But the problem is that what's driving this artificial intelligence is the whole military industry in the States. And we have drones. So what they're doing is they're trying to get these drones that at the moment you have to have an operator if you're in Afghanistan or if you're in Syria or famously with Osama bin Laden, where they will do surveillance, pick out their target and then kill. So that's all controlled from somewhere in the US, and the actual drone might be in Afghanistan. But they're developing newer ones that actually would be able to select those targets themselves, identify the targets, make their own decision on whether to kill or not kill. And the scary thing is that a lot of this work is being done with private contractors. So you have private contractors who are kind of like the operators, and then you've got the US military. So the whole the AI, I mean, people are getting worried that we're already starting to possibly lose control of this.
That's an extraordinary idea. I mean, it's already worrying enough, the kind of remote killing of people from the safety of a base somewhere in America. But the idea that a robot is going to be deciding who to kill, who not to kill.
Exactly. And
on what basis? I mean, do you know any of the details? I presume this is secret work, but what kind of parameters could you possibly be using for these robots?
Well, you can use speech recognition, so you could actually hear, you could have a recognition of somebody's voice. You've got very advanced video now where they can pick out the target. You've got heat sensors.
Facial recognition. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you might have, in Osama's house, Osama bin Laden, they might have had listening devices in there so they know what room he's in. They can put all of this together and, essentially target somebody very, very systematically. And it might be even better than doing it with, a hit squad or a SWAT team.
Well, you're not putting any of your own people's life at
risk
if you can generate this kind of artificial intelligence. How far away do people reckon we are from that?
A few years.
A few years.
A few years from a truly intelligent, as in human-like intelligence. That's why what's happening in the science world often doesn't filter into the general sphere until something big is going on. But we've had 1,000 researchers that have signed up for this campaign to stop killer robots. So we tend to think this is very science fiction. But actually, the scientists working in the field, these are famous people, the leading lights in the artificial intelligence field. And they are saying, we've got an issue here because we're moving ahead very quickly. We're getting to the point where we're going to have an intelligence that will, first of all, rival a human intelligence, but then will surpass it. Okay, and that we need to get our ethics in place. We need to design these systems so that they're going to remain under our control.
Rather than handing over the development of these systems to, in effect, arms companies.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a thing that it sounds very sinister, but they call it the technological singularity. And just to tell you what this is the moment in history where AI researchers say that an intelligence will surpass a human intelligence in general intelligence. That'll be superior to us.
In general, I mean, I suppose we've already seen computers are already superior to us in terms of their numeracy, spell, all of these things that we can't do. So this will be when they think for themselves, is it?
Yeah, this
when
is general intelligence. General intelligence in the whole environment and the way we interact with it, not just, you know, solving some mathematical problem or, you know, some very specific thing. This is the whole sphere. And that type of intelligence, some believe, there's a futurist, a famous futurist, Ray Kurzweil in the States, who says this is going to happen. He wrote about it in a book, Technological Singularity, by 2045. Okay. But there are others who are now saying it's going to be 2030. We're talking 15 years here. So we really have to get our house in order.
And Sean, do we have to be concerned about this? I mean, couldn't you say, well, look, there's always going to be an on-off switch? And also, do we know that if we create artificial intelligence like this, that is self-aware, that is aware of what's going on, and is more intelligent than us, that it will necessarily want to serve itself more than it wants to serve us? I mean, is that not a programmable thing that we...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You see, we don't really know. We know we're conscious, you're conscious, I'm conscious. But is the artificial intelligence, this is the big debate, is it actually going to be conscious like us? Will it be able to think for ourselves? Itself. There's two schools of thought. One says, no, it's always going to be artificial. Another school of thought is it'll suddenly realise I'm alive. You remember the famous robot in Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey, HAL 9000.
Yeah.
And he lip-read the astronauts saying that they were going to turn him off. And he decided, right, I'm not having that. And he turned off their life support systems and killed them. So he became aware of his own existence and he thought, right, it's in my interest now to take care of these astronauts.
We do have somebody in touch with this here, listener, saying, you know, if you've got a problem, pull the plug.
Pull the plug, yeah. But the thing about it is, it's hard to pull the plug.
First, didn't
I? Yeah, it's hard to pull the plug when the military can save lives in Afghanistan. Like, look at Afghanistan, for example. The British went there in the 19th century. Then you had the Soviets, and it's a killing field for anybody who goes in there. You can have drones now that are flying overhead. This is why they want air war, because they don't want to put soldiers in the ground. You can control those, select targets, kill from the air. So you'll have the future of warfare will be robotic. You know,
for those who have the money to pay for it.
The Americans and the advanced countries. Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, it is quite it's a frightening vista. But I mean, we're talking a lot about the negative aspects around artificial intelligence. There are also a lot of positives, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you
tell us about them.
Yeah. You're going to have the nice side of it, if you like, in the future. It's going to make life an awful lot easier because you're going to have this Internet of Things. So you're going to have all of these things in your house that'll be talking to each other and connected by the Internet. And you might be at work here in the radio studio and, you know, you've got your robotic chef at home that's going to cook your dinner with all fresh ingredients. This type of thing exists.
They could select from what you have in your fridge and come up with a nice meal for you?
Well, you can put the ingredients out. I've seen it on a video and it can select the different things and actually make your meal for you.
What does that look like?
It's kind of arms. It's got two big kind of metal arms. And it's, you see, robotics is moving so quickly that the hands that they make now, the robotic hands, for example, are amazingly dexterous. So they're combining robotics with advanced artificial intelligence to do all of these things. And then it'll have speech recognition, so you'll go into your house and you'll be able to talk to all of the things
around
you.
Go get my slippers.
Yeah, go get my slippers, whatever. You might say for the elderly people, they'll be able to create an artificial intelligent companion robot that might look like a human and might have built-in personality traits like empathy, you know, that'll help lonely elderly people.
And you can really see the uses of it, but at the same time you can see, oh my goodness, what are we doing? We're filling in people's lives with robots here.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Our society has come to that point.
There was a writer called Isaac Asimov, and we might think about him because what he said, this is way back in 1942, he wrote I, Robot, you know, which became a film, and he said, look, what we have to do is have three laws of robotics. So basically you build it in, like in the Terminator film, to say you're not going to kill the humans, you're not going to injure a human being, you must obey orders given to it by human beings, and you must protect them at all times. But the problem is it's unpredictable, like a lot of things in science. We just don't know, because if you have a super intelligence that's created, that's more intelligent than us, it'll be able to essentially replicate itself and become more advanced. And it may decide, right, we don't need humans anymore, and just we'll end up like the gorillas on the endangered species and maybe extinct.
Okay, on that note. But it is true. I mean, Eric Schlosser, the previous person we were speaking to, you know, he said that human beings are really brilliant at solving problems as they arise, and they will put all their own ingenuity into that and they come up with good solutions. They don't see the bigger picture. He was talking obviously about nuclear warfare and the massive amount of nuclear waste that we have hanging around our planet at the time. Is this another example of that, that we have been pioneering, for example, robots that help with medical operations or robots that can hoover your house? house for you, but we've lost sight of the bigger picture here.
Exactly. Well, what you're talking about, I think, is emotional intelligence, that you can get robots to perform surgery. For example, a robotic surgeon in Ireland could be operated in New York, and you know, all that kind of thing. But the emotional intelligence is the difficult part, being able to read people's face and to interpret people's emotions. And that's been the really hard part with AI. But they are moving towards that as well. Because
you probably could do it, though, couldn't you? I mean, there are things that could be programmed into a robot to read in a face.
They're called self-learning systems. So essentially, you give it the tools, like the child, to learn from its environment and learn from everything it sees around it, including other, you know, entities like humans or other robots. And essentially, they're trying to get it to learn like a child. And
you're teaching them things like empathy then?
And to teach things like empathy.
The very core of what a human being is.
Exactly. And to get rid of any kind of killer instincts they might have and any kind of...
But will they have any instincts?
This is the question, isn't it? You know, you can say with thought, what is thought? What is consciousness? We don't really know. So we don't really know if we'll be able to... I mean, this dates back to Frankenstein and the story of Frankenstein being able to create life. So are we going to actually create a new life form here? Some people think we will, that because a life is defined by being self-aware. Are we creating something that's essentially an artificial, very intelligent piece of metal? It's up for grabs. We don't know which way it's going to go.
There's so many fascinating questions around it. Sean, thanks so much for coming in to us again this week. That's Sean Duke, our science journalist. And Sean, hopefully we'll be speaking to you again next week.
Great, thanks, Kevin.
We'll leave people with those frightening thoughts on what artificial intelligence is going to do to our society.